So today I'm back at Debenhams Ottaway, our legal experts and advertising partners here in St Albans. So one of our series of expert advice that we're bringing to you courtesy of Debenhams Ottaway. Today I'm talking with Luke Harrison. He's a partner here and he's also the lead partner in the litigation team here. And he's also the vice chairman of the Commercial Litigation Association. So a perfect person to talk to about cyber fraud. It's been worrying me for a while. I do worry about people falling victim to these types of crime. So Luke, we're going to kind of talk today about how we fall victim to these crimes, how we can avoid them, and what to do if it actually happens, because I'm hearing lots and lots of people saying now that they've fallen victim to these things. So could you start by giving us an overview of the kind of fraud we're looking at?
Yes, thanks Kerry. I suppose I've got sort of six categories of cyber fraud that I come across. Perhaps the most common is what is known as the phishing fraud, with a PH.
PH.
and there are different types of phishing frauds, but in essence, they normally start with an email or more recently, I've noticed text messages or bogus websites, normally offering either a service or more commonly offering a refund from someone that you know and trust, for example, a tax refund from HMRC.
Yes.
Maybe a refund from the DVLA, which is what I had the other day via text message.
Yeah.
Secondly, Wi-Fi frauds. Mm-hmm. And these commonly happen where people connect to what they think is a Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day who's quite senior in a bank who'd been on a cybersecurity course, and he was taken by the tutor to Claridge's and connected to what he thought was Claridge's Wi-Fi, but it was a cybersecurity firm who'd set up a bogus Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Called Claridge's within the restaurant. And, I suppose the third type is ID fraud, sort of classic ID fraud where people have used proof of identity documents, etc., to effectively take over your identity.
Wow.
And then to defraud you, or more commonly defraud companies in your name.
Yeah.
Investment scams, and recently seen a number of these ranging from the old-fashioned sort of boiler room frauds where people sell shares in companies that are worth nothing because good investment prospects.
Right.
Through to some of the more high-tech frauds, including something more recently that we see a lot of, is binary options, which are trading in shares online, often advertised via Facebook and social media.
Right.
And the final two types that I come across are pyramid schemes.
Oh, yeah.
And not necessarily just in sort of investment-type spheres, but advertising and other effectively get-rich-quick schemes.
Yeah.
Built up very quickly over social media. And then finally, dodgy professional services firms. Unfortunately, it is a factor of modern life that there are a lot of people holding themselves out as accountants, lawyers, etc. out there who either aren't simply not regulated and don't have the qualifications, or are not looking after the clients in the way they should, and hooking up with third parties. It's a case of just being on the lookout and dealing with people that you know and trust.
Most people go from recommendations from friends, don't they? But I think the thing there, and especially, you know, with all the new businesses that are starting up, not just accountants and law firms, but all these kind of other firms, is to make sure they're regulated and make sure they've got certificates or something to prove that they know what they're doing, I guess.
That's right. I mean, in the context of law firms, you obviously want to check the SRA, the Solicitors Regulation Authority, website and the Law Society website to check.
How can we avoid getting hooked into these kind of scams?
Well, I think if we start with probably the most common, the phishing fraud, which I mentioned earlier, the starting point is if you get emails from people that organisations that you may very well be doing business with, first of all, have a look at the email address from where it's come. Now, very often you might get something say, from PayPal or something like that.
That's a big one.
If you click on the email address, it may then actually say PayPal, but when you click on it, it'll tell you the actual email address is something which is not at the PayPal domain.
Yeah.
So you know not to click on it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it will show the correct domain if you click on the link, which you're best doing from an iPhone or a mobile device rather than a computer, because there's less risk of what they call Trojan software going on your computer.
Yeah.
If you click on the link, you're taken to a website. Again, check the website address in the browser.
You know, you mentioned the Wi-Fi hotspots as well. How would you know that you were onto a trusted Wi-Fi hotspot?
When you log on most phones to a new Wi-Fi hotspot, if it's one that's what's known as an open Wi-Fi hotspot, you get a note on your phone that says security recommendation. What you will find if you go to established places, for example at the local David Lloyd gym, I log on, it then takes you to a website and you put in your username and password, or they may already be there, and then you're logged on. And those are secure networks that you're logging into, and it does that before it allows you access to the internet. So you can log on to the network, but you can't get on the internet until you've gone through that. And if it's not prompting you to go through that, you want to question whether you should be using the network.
Luke, what about these investment scams? Because, you know, everyone's looking to have a little invest, you know, especially now with that you just don't get any return on your investments if you put them in a high street bank or whatever. So people are looking for great returns on their investments. How can you tell which ones are going to be worth the risk? And because all investments are a risk at the end of the day, but how do we know which ones are real and which ones are just absolute frauds?
I mean, I think if you are an investor with limited funds to invest, you're best to stick to products from high street banks. If you are a more wealthy investor and are looking potentially for higher returns, and you're investing a significant amount of money, it's worth then getting advice from a financial advisor, which is obviously something you have to pay for, but they will be able to, they'll be regulated and they'll be able to point you in the direction of investments that work.
So Luke, it's a bit of a crazy world out in cyberspace. If we do fall victim to any of these frauds, what would you advise people to do? What's the first course of action?
Unfortunately, what I'd say is the police are often not the first point of call unless you actually know who the fraudsters are. What I would suggest is people make a report to Action Fraud, because they aggregate people who are victims of similar frauds, and it gets to a point where it's a significant critical mass that they then put a police force on investigating it.
Right.
The regulators also are people to perhaps you should report the fraud to. If it is a Financial Conduct Authority regulated company, report it to that regulator.
Yeah.
Depending on the sums of money that you've lost, you may wish to consider bringing legal action yourself. Unfortunately, if the sums of money are not huge, you know, perhaps under £50,000, it may not be economic.
Yeah.
But you may have insurance on your household policy. And if you don't know who the fraudsters are, which is often the case, what you can do is you can apply to court for an act under something called the Bankers Book Act. And you go to court and you get the order. And the order says, you must tell us who had that account and where they've then sent the money on to, if they've sent it on.
Right.
And when you get to the point where you know who the perpetrator of the fraud is, you can look to get a freezing order to freeze all their assets worldwide, which is a step worth taking.
Mm.
And of course, the fraudsters may have long gone, maybe in Panama or wherever with their money, but the bank and the professional services organisation who've got insurance, etc., are in this jurisdiction, are a viable target for
getting
legal
your
action.
Money back.
So that is often the way to actually get the money back.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant advice as always. If you have fallen victim to any of these kinds of fraud, then you know you can always ring up Debenhams Otterway in St Albans and start the procedure of getting some legal advice. Luke Harrison, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kerry.